the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. As Ireland's enterprise bank, we're lending to more businesses and farmers than any other bank.
I built a tower in Dublin right up to the sun. Steel, concrete and time. I built that tower in Dublin.
College Green Dublin is the centre of Ireland's banking and commercial world. All the big banks are there. In 1972 came a decision to build a new central bank building within literally a stone's throw of the original location, to build in Dame Street. This film shows the progress of the building from a hole in the ground.
The central bank is a place that's often mentioned on this programme and elsewhere, but few have seen inside its revolving doors. This weekend, as part of the Irish Architecture Foundation Open House event, those doors are being opened to the general public. We took a trip inside with the head of facilities, Peter Shields. Hello, Peter. How are you doing?
Richard, welcome to Central Bank.
Thank you very much. Very nice to meet you. Very lively out there. It always is out on that plaza, isn't it?
Very, very active. It's always been a great place for people to meet, and there's always something going on.
And for a lot of years on a Saturday afternoon, I think it's still the case, you see a lot of teenagers dressed up as goths and
We have our plazoites, or plazaroids as they call themselves on occasions. Yeah, it's always jammered. It's a great spot for meeting.
I know for years I would associate the Central Bank building. You'd see it on the 6 o'clock news with George Lee or one of the economics correspondents standing outside talking about rising interest rates or something like that. But of course, more recently, there was the Occupy Dame Street movement. That must have been a bit awkward for yourselves, wasn't it?
They arrived in the night in October 11, and suddenly they were there. We had a good relationship in the end. I mean, it got to the stage that we had to have a security man on the front gate to mind people coming in and out. But when we had to put a security hut there to help the security man get out of the weather, the guys actually helped us build it. So we had a very good relationship with them.
So there would have been a bit of conversation, civilised banter.
General banter, yes. A lot of demonstrations start and finish here. So it's the only south-facing plaza on the south side of the city. It's a great gathering place.
Well, I'm looking forward to having a look around. Can you give us a bit of a tour?
Yeah, where would you like to go first? Restaurant or up to the heights of the 7th floor?
We'll try a cup of coffee, I think, before the heights.
we can do that.
I see all around the canteen, Peter, you have these fantastic old photographs of the building, kind of from start through the different periods. Here's one of it being built with the cranes. There was a lot of controversy, wasn't there, about this building in the 70s? It was built too high.
There was quite a bit of controversy. I mean, when we first went for planning application, we were looking for 15 stories. That was approved, that is a 14-story building, then subsequently refused. We went back and looked again for another planning permission, which was for the 7-story building. But as it was being built, as part of the process, some of the granite they were using to hang off the front of the building was heavier than had been initially anticipated. So they then needed a higher structure and a stronger structure to hold that extra weight. So our architects continued to build, and unfortunately they ended up being somewhat over their original planning permission by about 9 metres.
And of course the building was actually built from the top down. The top floor was put in first. It's like a suspended structure, is it almost?
It's an extremely unusual way of doing the building, but it was done for the reasons of making it be completed on time and quicker. But what he did first was build the two towers and then put basically very strong cables from that, built the floors on the ground and jacked them all the way up. So the top floor was actually built on the ground and jacked all the way up 3 metres at a time, which is about the same speed as traffic around Dame Street on occasions, but very, very unusual.
Sam Stevenson, the architect, what was his take on the fact that it had ended up being higher than the planning permission? Was he kind of, don't look at me, it's somebody else's fault?
Well, the files are not very clear as to exactly what went on at that particular time, Richard, as you can imagine. It's just, you know, get this sorted. There were quite a number of appeals and planning permissions and public hearings, and the exact words between various people we can't see directly from the files, but the job was to get it done, and eventually it was agreed with DCC how to progress. Things were done differently in those days. Obviously these days there's much more focus on how things are done, so you would not have been able to get away with it as easily as maybe it was done back in those days.
So Peter, we can hopefully leave the canteen. Any chance we could have a look at the boardroom upstairs?
Not a problem, Richard. Come this way.
Peter, that is some view for a boardroom. It looks fantastic.
Pretty spectacular. There's not too many buildings around the city that have this scape. It's absolutely fabulous to be able to see the city and see the river. And I suppose one of the great advantages of here when we came in first was how underdeveloped the whole area was. And as you could look out on the city below, you could see it all being developed bit by bit. So Temple Bar is not the place it used to be.
The view, I'd say, has changed a lot. But of course, then you would have seen all the cranes going up. You could count them nearly every day and monitor how things were going.
Well, the good news, Richard, is the cranes are starting to come back up again. So we have gone through a cycle.
This boardroom, it's a huge oval-shaped table. There's a bit of the Knights of the Round Table about it as well. Seats quite a few. I suppose if rooms could talk, this one now would have a few interesting stories to tell.
Many stories, but obviously we couldn't tell you half of them, Richard.
Probably less than
half of them. For pretty good reasons, I'm sure.
Well, I remember reading about the late Brian Lenehan saying that in the run-up to the financial crash, he came into the central bank with the governor and the financial regulator. I think it was in the summer of 08 when things were starting to look hairy abroad. And he came into the central bank and to get an appraisal of the situation, and he described it as one of kind of a very fearful situation, that it was dawning on them that this was a very serious. Probably would have been in this room, I'd imagine.
It certainly would have been on this floor. We would have used all the rooms along this suite for that particular period of time. The whole 7th and 6th floor was, as you can imagine, a hive of activity with people looking at all possibilities and all options and trying to resolve the problems.
Curiosity is obviously a big factor where people are. They probably think that the money is printed in here, I suspect.
Well, the original planning application had it as a printing facility. We went initially for 15 stories back in 1967, of which a couple of stories were to be set over for the print. So we don't actually print notes here. It's out in Sandyford. So no gold, no notes. It's just brains.
Is it a nice building to work in?
It's a fabulous building to work in. Now, I'm a bit biased. I've been here since 1978 when the building just opened. It was so far ahead of its time. We have a raised access floor, even though nobody had computers at the time. So he was miles ahead of himself. This weekend, we're changing some of the glass in the building. And as you can see, they're huge panes of glass. He designed the stairs especially to be able to take glass up through the middle of the stairwell because it's just so difficult and so hard to do. But it's a fabulous building to work with.
The central bank will be moving a lot of people to what would have been the new Anglo-Irish Bank headquarters that they planned. You're going to have a nightmare to deal with because every time a company moves building, everybody is jockeying for position as to where they're going to be sitting, how much space they're going to get, whether their plants will move with them. You're going to get it in the neck.
Well, we have possibly 18 months in which to start the row and have the row finished before we get there, and we're well used to it. I mean, we have moved people around, as you can imagine, and we're not telling them where to go, but in a nice way saying this is the best place for you and we think it'll work well for you.
What will happen to this building, Peter?
No idea yet at the moment. I mean, it's a little bit early in the day as to what the disposal would be, but if you remember, I think it was Doc and Momo ran a competition there about 2 years ago as to how best the bank could be used after it was vacated, and some of the ideas were fabulous, from schools to hospitals to hanging gardens to an art gallery to public housing. So its uses, because it's such a city centre location as well, I think it'll be fabulous. Whatever it will be, it will be in the public interest in any event.
Well, Peter, thanks a million for showing us around. Really enjoyed it, and good luck with the big move as well.
No problem at all, Richard. Great having you here.
By the way, Peter told me that the demand for tickets to the central bank tour was so great that they had to draw lots, and I think they can only facilitate about 240, but he said they could easily have got about 2,000 applicants. But if you do want to find out more about other architectural tours and buildings that are open today, you'll get more information if you go to openhousedublin.com.